Against a black background, titles appear. Touchstone Pictures presents, in association with Touchwood Pacific Partners 1, a Sandy Gallen production. Now, champagne fills the screen. Tiny bubbles rise upward through the amber liquid in delicate trails. More titles. A Nancy Myers and Charles Shire film. Steve Martin. In Father of the Bride. With Diane Keaton. Kimberly Williams. George Newbern. Kieran Culkin. B.D. Wong. Peter Michael Goetz, Kate McGregor Stewart, and Martin Short. Executive producers, Sandy Gallen and James Orr and Jim Cruikshank. Co-producer, Cindy Williams. Casting by Donna Isaacson. Music by Alan Silvestri. Costume designer, Susan Becker. Film editor, Richard Marks. Production designer, Sandy Veneziano. Director of photography, John Lindley. Produced by Nancy Myers, Carol Baum, and Howard Rosenman. Screenplay by Francis Goodrich, Albert Hackett, Nancy Myers, and Charles Shire. Directed by Charles Shire. Our view pulls away from the glass of bubbling champagne and drifts past the scattered remains of a reception. A strand of pearls entangled with white tooling, a half-filled glass, pink roses lying slightly wilted on their sides, and small figurines of a bride and groom. Candles burn low. A wedding invitation stands half open against three slender champagne glasses. A bouquet of lilies and roses lies on its side, tied with a strand of pearls. Now we skim over a floor littered with confetti, flower petals, and napkins. A handsome, tuxedoed, silver-haired man in his late 40s hunches in a chair. He takes off a shoe, massages his foot, and smiles wincingly at us.
I used to think a wedding was a simple affair. Boy and girl meet, they fall in love, he buys a ring, she buys a dress, they say I do.
He leans forward.
I was wrong. That's getting married. A wedding is an entirely different proposition. I know. I've just been through one. Not my own. My daughter's. Annie Banks McKenzie. That's her married name. McKenzie.
He shakes confetti from his shoe.
I'll be honest with you. When I bought this house 17 years ago, it cost less than this blessed event in which Annie Banks became Annie Banks McKenzie. I'm told that one day I'll look back on all of this with great affection and nostalgia. I hope so. You fathers will understand. You have a little girl, an adorable little girl who looks up to you and adores you in a way you could never have imagined. I remember how her little hand used to fit inside mine. How she used to love to sit on my lap and lean her head against my chest. She said I was her hero. Then the day comes when she wants to get her ears pierced and wants you to drop her off a block before the movie theater. Next thing you know, she's wearing eyeshadow and high heels. From that moment on, you're in a constant state of panic. You worry about her going out with the wrong kind of guys, the kind of guys who only want one thing. And you know exactly what that one thing is because it's the same thing you wanted when you were their age.
He sips champagne.
Then she gets a little older, and you quit worrying about her meeting the wrong guy, and you worry about her meeting the right guy. And that's the biggest fear of all, because then you lose her. And before you know it, you're sitting all alone in a big empty house wearing rice on your tux, wondering what happened to your life. It was just 6 months ago that it happened here. Just 6 months ago, that the storm broke. Annie had been studying for her master's in architecture for the past semester in Rome. I remember I was at work walking through the factory. I own a company called Sidekicks. We manufacture athletic shoes. Anyway, I remember how preoccupied I was that day.
I'm sorry, Mr. Banks.
My fault, Grace. Annie had never been that far away from home, and she was due back any minute.
I couldn't wait to see the kid.
A secretary in a glassed-in second-floor office.
George, she landed.
My daughter has been studying abroad, been flying for 11 hours. I'm not wild about her being in the air. You have kids, Juan, you understand. It's better when they're on the ground.
George dodges rolling racks of shoes and bounds upstairs.
I've always been a concerned parent. I'm big on car seats, seat belts, bedtimes, curfews, calling when you get somewhere, never running with a sharp object.
Hi, George.
What can I say? I'm a father. Worrying comes with the territory.
Is Nina picking her up at the airport?
Yeah.
And you're going to meet him?
Yeah, I'm going home right now.
In his office, he fumbles for his keys.
Oh. Here. And sign this.
Okay.
His secretary holds out a clipboard.
Okay.
He dons a red baseball cap, then rushes back for two boxes and his attaché case.
Bye.
I left work early because I had a little something to pick up for Annie's homecoming.
He parks outside a bike store.
We live in a small town in Southern California called San Marino. I love this town, and not just because it's the kind of place where people still smile at each other, but because it hasn't changed much in the past 25 years. And since I'm not a guy who's big on change, this town fits me like a glove.
He drives a classic Austin Healey convertible onto a maple-lined street.
I got Annie's 10-speed all cleaned up and polished. New seats, new tires. I couldn't wait to show it to her.
He pulls into the driveway of a large white house.
This is our house, 24 Maple Drive. Annie was just in grammar school when we bought it. A few years later, we got a surprise package, our son, Matt. I love this house. I love that I taught my kids to ride their bikes in the driveway. I love that I slept with them in tents in the backyard. I love that we carved our initials in the tree out front. This house is warm in the winter, cool in the summer, and looks spectacular with Christmas lights. It's a great house, and I never want to move. But the thing I think I like best about this house are the voices I hear when I walk through the door.
Hey, oh, hi.
Hi.
Got out early.
Where is she?
Oh, she's unpacking. She's so fabulous, just fabulous. Different. Anyway, she can't wait to see you.
Different?
Ciao, Papa.
Hey.
Annie brought me this candy bar all the way from home.
Let's not get it on our American furniture.
Maddie, the high tops.
Maddie catches the shoebox.
Hey, grazie.
Hey, you're welcome. What do you mean different?
Wearing a short black dress, Annie gazes downstairs. George's stunned stare melts.
Annie.
Hi, Dad.
Annie slides down the railing. Beaming, she throws her arms around George's neck.
God, I missed you.
You look all lit up inside.
Oh, I feel all lit up inside.
Maybe we should go to Rome for a few months, honey.
Oh, you two would love it. It's the most romantic place on earth.
You smell pretty good, too.
Oh, you like it? It's a present.
Doesn't she look incredible? I almost didn't recognize her. Come on, dinner's on the stove. Honey, you want
to
come?
Nina leads the pretty curly-haired Annie away. George squints. His brow creases into a frown. Later, at the dinner table.
All right. Now that we're all back under one roof, we have some very important items to discuss. First on the list, who wants to go to the Laker game on Thursday?
Oh. Me. Definitely yes.
Okay, and with your busy schedule, too.
Honey, I can't. I have inventory to do that night.
Oh.
Thursday, sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
Maddie, could you use your fork?
Mm. Number two. Paul Simon is coming to the Forum, and I think I can get us great seats.
Oh.
Yeah, sure.
All right, Paul Simon's an yeah, sure. Which I believe translates to a yes.
Annie nods tentatively.
Okay.
Honey, could you please get that bottle of wine in the fridge for me?
Sure.
Dad, wait, I don't know.
You don't want to see Paul Simon?
No, I do. It's just,
What is it?
Well,
honey, is something going on?
Yes. Yeah, it is, Mom. God, this is a hard thing to tell parents, especially when they're my parents. Oh, God.
Honey, just say it. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
Okay. I met somebody in Rome. He's an American. He's from L.A., actually. And his name's Brian McKenzie. And he's this completely wonderful, wonderful, amazing man. And, well, we started seeing each other a lot. And we fell in love. It actually happened. And we've decided to get married, which means that
what?
I'm engaged. I'm engaged. I'm getting married.
George stops chewing.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, my, my. Oh, so, oh, my. And that's your engagement ring, huh?
Yes, yes. We got it at a flea market outside of Rome. The guy we bought it from said it was at least 100 years old.
Wow.
So, Dad, stop it. Say something.
George snaps out of a daze.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Dad, I met a man in Rome, and he's wonderful and brilliant, and we're getting married.
George sees Annie as a 7-year-old.
Mom, what's he doing?
George. George, what is it?
He breaks into a smile.
Well, this is ridiculous. You're too young to get married.
Too young? Dad, I'm 22. If I'm not mistaken, that's a year older than Mom was when you guys got married.
That is absolutely not true.
Oh, no, you're absolutely wrong.
You were this age when I married you?
No, I was younger. I was this age when she was born.
That doesn't matter. Times have changed. Your mother was mature, and 22 isn't what it used to be. Dad, would you turn on the air conditioner? It's hot in here. I thought you didn't believe in marriage. I thought it meant that a woman lost her identity. I thought you wanted to get a job before you settled down so you could earn money and be your own person.
All right, hold on. I didn't think I believed in marriage until I met Brian. I mean, Brian's not like any other guy I've ever known. I want to be married to him. And I'm not going to lose my identity with him because he's not some overpowering macho guy. I mean, he's like you, Dad. Except he's brilliant. He happens to love the fact that I want to be an architect. He wants me to design a house for us to live in. He said he'd move anywhere I got a job. Give me a little credit, George. I'm not going to marry some ape who wants me to wear go-go boots and an apron. I'm telling you, you'll love him. He's a genius. And sweet. And I love him more than anything in the world.
George stares at the table.
What does Brian do?
Who's Brian? I forgot his name.
He's an independent communications consultant.
Independent?
Yes.
Yeah, that's code for unemployed. Now, this is perfect. You meet an unemployed, amazingly brilliant non-ape that I'm going to have to support. I suppose I'm going to have to hire him and fire some hardworking guy with 3 kids because my son-in-law, the independent communications consultant, can't get a job anywhere else. I wonder he'll move anywhere you get a job. You're not getting married, and that's it, and that's final. And I don't like you calling me George. I mean, when did this start?
Daddy, what is wrong with you?
Annie storms out. Maddie presses his lips together. Nina gapes at her husband.
What? You're telling me you're happy about this?
George, please, will you stop acting like a lunatic father and go out and talk to her before she runs out that door, marries this kid, and we never see her again?
All right. Kid, how do you know he's a kid? He could be 45 years old.
Nina responds with a warning glare. Maddie shakes his head. George leaves the room. Nina's uncompromising stare warms into a grin as she chuckles to herself. Outside, Annie hunches on a patio chair. George brings out a basketball.
An independent communications consultant does not mean he's an unemployable non-ape. Brian happens to be a computer genius. Companies send him all over the world hooking up these complex systems. Major banks and corporations send him to Tokyo and Brazil and Geneva. He's a genius.
You mentioned that. How old is this genius?
26. Not 45. You guys still think I can't hear you when you're 1 room away.
If you love him so much, I know I'll love him too.
Annie smiles, her pert face framed by chestnut brown hair. They embrace.
Brian.
Mackenzie.
Brian Mackenzie.
Yeah.
I can't wait to meet him.
Good, because he'll be here in an hour to meet you.
Suppose you're not in the mood for a little one-on-one?
Daddy, I'm wearing heels.
Come to the right place.
She catches the basketball. Later, in the driveway, wearing her black dress, pearls, and a pair of white high tops, Annie dribbles low, bounces the ball between George's legs, and sprints in for a layup. The ball falls through the rim and into George's hands as Annie taps out a victory dance. Later, she steals the ball off his dribble and makes another basket. Now, George whirls the ball around his waist and under one leg. He heaves it from behind his back into the hoop. George jumps for joy, then moonwalks backward and forward. Later, he calls time out, then bolts toward the basket. He shoots and misses. Annie catches his rebound and scores. George shoots a jump shot over his daughter's head. It swishes in. He guards Annie closely. She fakes a drive to the left, then to the right. With her back to the basket, she throws the ball high over both of them. It drops in. Later, she fakes George into jumping, hits a long shot, and kisses her fingertips. Without dribbling, George runs to the hoop and puts in a finger roll. Annie calls traveling. George tries to dribble past her. She grabs his tie and yanks him back. George's wild shot bounces in. In slow motion, they walk past each other and slap a high five. Annie scores. They slap another high five. Sweating, George reaches for the ball. Smiling, Annie bites her lower lip and dribbles past him. He grabs her wrist and spins her. Grimacing, she manages a long one-arm toss. The ball soars high into the night air. George staggers as it rattles in. As they slap a high five, Annie whirls around and pumps her fists. They walk back toward the house, arm in arm.
You're not really getting married, are you?
Dad, stop.
Later, George peeks out a window as a red sports car pulls up in front of the house. Frowning, he squints from behind a lace curtain. Nina enters, sipping coffee.
So can you see him? What does he look like?
He just drove up.
And?
He drove too fast.
Nina sets down her cup. Hunching, George returns to the window. On the front walk, Brian straightens his tie and runs a hand nervously through his hair.
Well, wait. So, George, you want to meet him?
Do I want to meet him?
Brow furrowed, George peeks at Nina, who holds the front door half open, and waves George over.
Oh, hello. Hi.
Hi, I'm Brian McKenzie.
Good. I'm Nina Banks.
Yes, I recognize you from your picture.
Yes.
George rolls his eyes.
Yes, oh, good. Come in.
Okay. Hello, Mr. Banks.
It was the first time I ever hated the sound of my own name.
Hi. I've heard so much about you. It's great to finally meet you, sir.
Sir. Two words now crossed my mind. Brown and nose.
Annie talks about you so much, I feel like I already know you.
Brian.
Oh, Annie.
The bright-eyed, boyish Brian rushes into Annie's arms. They kiss closely. George can't bring himself to watch, then forces a smile.
So this is him.
Oh, he's just...
All nervous. It's like one of the situations you read about, you know, meeting the in-laws. But you two seem great. I'm sure I have nothing to be nervous about. But still...
Let's go into the
great.
I think he's adorable.
I don't like him.
Oh, George.
He's wearing Nikes.
Brian's sneakers peek out from under his pants.
Mom, where's Maddie?
Oh, he fell asleep watching TV.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll meet him tomorrow. Okay.
They sit in the living room.
So,
how did you two meet?
Oh... We were the only two people at this revival house in Rome for a midnight showing of Bringing Up Baby. We kept hearing each other laugh.
And at all the same places.
Yeah. When it was over, I picked him up.
Oh, no. I went over to you to ask directions, and then one thing led to another.
And that was it. For the next 3 months, we never left each other's sight. We went to all these museums, all these great concerts, the opera. Yeah.
George stares with horror at Brian's hand on Annie's knee.
suffice it to say, it was not a 4-star hotel. You have a very brave daughter.
Brian, what is it exactly that you do? Annie was saying something about computers.
Yes, I'm an independent communications consultant.
Yeah, that part I heard.
Sounds fake, right? Like it's not a real job?
No, we wouldn't say that, no.
Well, that's what my dad said when he first heard what I was doing. But what it is, in this case, Pacific International Bank sent me to Rome to hook up the XDOT connection to their European subsidiary. All European computers communicate on the DOT-25 network. And since Pacific International is an LA-based firm, they wanted to interface with standard European protocol. So I set them up.
And why are you independent? What was that?
Because no one can afford to keep him on staff.
Well, that's true, basically.
He rubs Annie's knee. George glares.
Driving down here, I tried to put myself in your place. Your daughter comes home after spending 4 months in Rome, and I'm sure you couldn't wait to see her, and she shocks you with the news that she's getting married. And to somebody you've never met before. I'm sure that must have been pretty... heavy. To use a word from your generation. I just want to say that I'm an upstanding citizen. I've never been engaged before. I've never really been in love before. And I think Annie is the greatest person I've ever met. And I can't wait to marry her and one day have children. Mm-hmm. Grandchildren. And I'm going to do my best to be supportive of her dreams. And she's a very gifted architect. I'm just thrilled that I met her.
George fakes a smile.
I love your daughter. And the feelings that I have for her are never going to change.
Glassy-eyed, he squeezes Annie.
I'm here to stay.
George slouches, stupefied. Nina beams. Laughing and crying, Annie and Nina hug. Brian and George face each other awkwardly.
That's okay, Mr. Banks. We don't have to hug.
Maybe later. No.
Well, that was just the best thing I've ever heard anybody say.
Oh, well, I meant it.
Good.
Listen, I want to take Brian out for a drive somewhere around San Marino.
Okay, honey. Good.
Annie, it's a little nippy out. You might want to put on a sweater.
Dad, it's okay. I'm kind of warm.
So there's a chill in the air, and you've been on a plane.
Dad, I'm fine.
Annie, it is kind of cold out.
It is?
Yeah.
All right, thanks. I'll get my jacket.
Right then I realized my day had passed. She'll always love me, of course, but not in the same way. I was no longer the man in my little girl's life. I was like an old shoe, the kind we manufacture and get all excited about and then after a few years discontinue. That was me now, Mr. Discontinued.
Mom, don't wait up, okay? We might stop for a cappuccino.
Oh, okay, fine. Well, good night, Brian.
Good night. Good night, Mr. Banks.
Oh, you can call him George. Or Dad.
George will be fine.
Okay. I'll see it next time I see it.
Drive carefully. And don't forget to fasten your condom.
Dad!
Seatbelt! Amen. Amen. Seatbelt.
Yeah. I'm putting your father to bed. This has been a very big night for him.
Bye.
Oh, well, yeah. Good night. Have
bye.
Fun.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have fun. This is a great kid.
It'll never last.
Want to bet?
Nina, Annie's much too spirited for this kid. He's totally wrong for her. I give it 2 months, tops. 1 month.
This is the right guy for Annie, George. I'm telling you, I feel it in my bones. I mean, we're two lucky parents.
Lucky? Oh, what about his laugh? It was such a giveaway. It was so phony with it.
I thought it was totally sincere.
Oh, please. What about that little rehearsed speech he gave? It was right out of a book, How to Grease Your Future Mother-in-Law.
You're off here, George, really. I thought it was completely from his heart. Why do you think I cried?
Good question. I don't know why either of you cried. I'm losing my voice. Are my glands swollen or something?
Let me see. No, honey, no.
What about the way he kept touching her?
What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean? He couldn't keep his hands off.
Oh, yes, kind of like when we were engaged, except that wasn't all you couldn't keep off me.
That was different, and we certainly never acted that way in your parents' house.
Ah! You want me to name all the rooms we did it in at my parents' house?
That was different. We were like two imbeciles. This is our child we're talking about.
Our child? Oh, George, you know, I still think you see Annie as a 7-year-old in pigtails.
Well, you know, that just shows how much you know about me, because that is not at all how I see her. Right, a 7-year-old with pigtails. I mean, here's the thing.
We have no idea who this Brian really is.
Oh, uh-huh.
I mean, if that's his real name, I mean, who knows? You know, maybe he already has a wife. You read about these cases every day. You know, men who have wives and families stashed all across the country. I mean, he could be a professional con artist uh-huh. who meets innocents abroad and gives them this song and dance about being an independent whatever that was, and then skips out after bilking them for all they're worth. What are you doing?
I'm getting ready for bed.
You know, then I suppose you're not interested that I believe I remember seeing someone who looked like Brian's twin on America's Most Wanted.
You're right. I'm not.
George turns away.
George, I thought he was great. I liked him a lot. And I'm really happy. George, will you please stop making that face? I'm very happy for Annie. I'm excited for her. This is a big deal. I think that we should at least hug. This is great news. Oh, wedding.
George hugs back weakly.
Father of the bride. Can you believe it?
She kisses him. Holding her tight, George rolls his eyes, then frowns. Daytime in their Jeep.
48 hours later, the wedding was still on, and we were on our way to Bel Air to meet Brian's folks.
I don't know why we have to have brunch with total strangers.
Because their son is marrying our daughter, and it's not an unusual custom meeting the in-laws.
You know, that's another thing. I hate that expression, in-laws. What does it mean, anyway? We're legally bound to these people? I don't want to be in-lawed. Especially to people who live in Bel Air. I mean, what kind of people have brunch and live in Bel Air?
Rich people.
They probably live in the one shack in the middle of all these mansions.
Nice mood, George.
But I'm in a good mood.
They approach a manicured hedge.
Okay, I think this is it. Yeah. Nice shack, babe.
Worse, the biggest house on the street. Now we're related to pretentious snobs. Just what we need.
An iron security gate slides open automatically. They pull into a circular driveway, past a stone fish spouting water. Nina parks their Jeep Cherokee. Fuchsia blossoms cover one of the villa's cream-colored stucco walls. The banks get out. George's eyes bulge at the Mackenzie's mansion. They approach an enormous front door with a heavy black ring for a knocker.
You look very handsome, George. Way too young to be in-lawed.
Well, it really shouldn't matter how I look. We're not here to win their approval. Just because you changed your outfit 5 times.
Oh, and you didn't try on 9 different shirts?
Two. Too long sleeve, too short sleeve.
George, hi. Nina, welcome. Hi.
Brian's parents embrace them.
I'm John.
Hello. Hi, I'm Joanna. Welcome.
Come in, please.
Come in. Thank you so much. Well,
come in. All I could think about was the size of this place.
I know that
we could have parked our whole house in the foyer.
What a nerve-wracking thing, meeting your future in-laws. Yeah. Oh. What a relief, you two look perfectly normal.
Oh, well, I am. I have to tell you, we got so nervous about today, about meeting the two of you. I must have tried on 3 different outfits.
Oh.
I changed my shirt 4 times. Can you imagine anyone being that jerky?
Oh, no.
George lingers in the foyer, his smile evaporating.
Oh, what a great...
Marta.
Thank you, Marta.
A maid.
Estos son nuestros in-laws, George and Nina Banks.
Mucho gusto.
Hello.
Oh, and here's the rest of our family.
2 Dobermans and a bulldog.
Oh, don't worry. They look like killers, but they're actually quite friendly. As long as you're relaxed, why, they're relaxed.
Hi, puppy. Yeah, you...
All right, fellas, that's enough. Come on. Release! Good boy.
Well, why don't we all sit down?
Please.
Oh, thank you.
All right, here we go. George... Honey?
Oh, sweetheart. Oh. I don't know if the kids told you, but we were over in Europe on business, and we stopped in Rome to see Brian. So we got to spend a few days with Annie. Oh, boy, we just fell in love with her immediately.
Isn't she great?
Yes, we just couldn't be happier about this.
How did you take the news, George?
Me? Truthfully, I was a little surprised.
I was shocked.
So was I.
After all, they'd only known each other a few months.
Exactly, and Annie's just finishing up school.
Absolutely. Oh, believe me, I tossed and turned over this one, but the bottom line is they're in love. They're over 21, and whether they're rushing into this or not, maybe not for us to say.
Right. Not for us to say. We're only their parents. I was about to say these very words out loud when he hit me with...
Yeah, sooner or later you just have to let your kids go and hope you brought them up right.
John passes around glasses of champagne.
George? Nina? Darling?
This guy was making a little too much sense for me. Suddenly my shirt collar felt like it was starting to strangle me.
George sips.
To George and Nina.
And then spits it back.
And a future of wonderful memories. First, the wedding of our children. And the happiness we'll share watching their lives. Then, sharing the joy of our grandchildren together. Birthday parties. Graduation.
Choking back sobs, John swallows hard, lowers his gaze, and brings his glass solemnly to his lips.
Now I knew where they got the expression, like father, like son. I also knew I needed some air.
Can you tell me where the restroom is?
Oh, actually, the one down here is a mess we're remodeling. Why don't you try the one at the top of the stairs? It's the seventh door on the left.
Second?
Seventh.
Seventh.
Upstairs, George rubs his hands under the sink faucet. He towels off his hands, then notices an open mirror-faced cabinet. He shuts the mirror door,